I tell you. It's great to be in the house of the Lord. He is the one who runs this, not me and not my wife, not the board, not your teachers, your elders. God is the one who runs this church. It's His church. I'm just honored to be a part of it, and I'm honored to be a part of it with you. Community. Amen? And that's what we're talking about today, community. I want to share with you on this big idea we've been talking about this year about pursuing God. In the next, this week and next week, I want to present to you two sides of the same coin of pursuing God, and that is the aspects of pursuing God communally and pursuing God intimately. And I want to show you the importance, biblically and spiritually, the importance of both of those sides of the coin, both of those aspects of our Christian walk, communally and intimately, and how they are important and biblical. Amen? Regardless of what is going on in this world, or in this church, or in your life, or in your family, in your home, pursuing God and all that that entails should be our number one goal as a Christian, regardless of everything that's going on. Whatever it is that's getting you closer to God will get you through anything that this world's going to throw at you. Right? Think about Paul. When Paul was thrown in prison, we don't have record of him complaining and fighting back and rising up and getting all angry, even though it was unjustly done to him. What does he do? He begins to sing praises to God in that jail cell. Pursuing God. Whatever's going to get you closer to God, that's what's going to get you. That's what's going to get you through anything the world is going to throw at you. So we're continuing on this pursuit of God, communally and intimately. You know, one thing I noticed during this study is that in every letter that Paul wrote to the churches, included instructions on how to live with each other in unity and love. In every single letter, included instructions on how to do a Christian journey communally. And he probably got that from Jesus. Jesus taught many times about how Christianity is a team sport. Think about what I like to call Jesus's manifesto, the Sermon on the Mount, his big intro to his philosophy to this world with the Beatitudes and all that stuff. Blessed are the gentle, merciful, peacemakers. All those are communal. Think about it. Communal attributes. He taught about the being the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Community. Sermon on the Mount is full of those things. And like the golden rule in Matthew 7:12. Treat people the same way you want them to treat you. Community. Remember the second greatest commandment? We talk about this a lot. It comes up all the time. Second greatest commandment, Jesus says, was love your neighbor as yourself. John 13:35, Jesus says, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. What did he tell Peter, three times? Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Amen? How we interact with each other. I want you to get this. This is something, this is like the bottom line of my sermon today. How we interact with each other is how the world will find out about Jesus. And I'm going to give you some scripture principle behind that. In John 17:22 is the high priestly prayer is what it's called by scholars. It's the prayer that Jesus is praying. He says near the end of it, "The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me." So that the world may know that you loved them. How we interact with each other is the key to showing Christ the world. Let that sink in for a while, because we're going to come back to that. Somebody else said that in the Bible too. Even in our prayers, the prayer that Jesus taught. Disciples go up to Jesus when he was praying and they said, "Teach us how to pray." And what did Jesus say? He says, "Okay, pray this way. Our Father," stop right there. He's already teaching them a community prayer. He didn't say, "My Father, pray this way, my Father." He says, "Our Father." It's a community prayer. Now, obviously, I realize that there's going to be some times in your life God's going to deal with you very individually. The Bible says he even knows the amount of hairs on your head. And he's going to deal with you very individually, and he loves and is very concerned about every detail, small detail of your everyday life. No doubt about it. But the Christian journey, by and large, is meant to be traveled together. It's how it's designed. Now, I was telling Jill, the funny thing about these two sermons is that there's going to be people when I'm talking about serving, pursuing God as a community, and they're going to be like, "Yeah, I love people," and they love, you know, people like this. They love to have people over. You know, you're always inviting people over. Come over to a party. They buy a house based on how many people they can get in their living room to entertain people, right? We know people like that. They're going to love this week. Next week will be different. Because they hate to be alone, right? But there's the other side of the audience, congregation, that is going to be quite the opposite. Yeah. We have to do all this together. Can't I just pursue God by myself? There's enough people in my life already. When you become, think about this, when you become a citizen of the kingdom of God, you become a partner to some degree with all of its current and future residents. Remember what Paul says? 1 Corinthians 12:12, he said, "For even as the body is one, yet it has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews, Greeks, Democrats, Republicans, Liberty." No, it says that, doesn't it, in there somewhere? Same idea. Regardless, slaves, free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. The appendages on my hand look very differently than the appendages on my feet, but I need both. All right, I want both. Some people may do without, but it's beneficial to have both. Every part of the body. We think about the body of Christ. Sometimes we think about those of us here at Bethel Church Choctaw. I want to remind us, as we think and learn about community, that the body of Christ is not just Bethel Church Choctaw. This is a body. Down the road, there's a couple of bodies, you know, on Church Corner. We've got a body that's, no, we're all one body. Right? We're all one body. All of us believers are part of the church, the Christian community, our brothers and sisters. That's why I sometimes find it a little sad, and I wonder how God feels about this, but all of the denominations in this world, do you realize? I just learned this. I read this somewhere. It was on the internet, so I know it's true. But there's almost 500 major denominations, Christian denominations, in the world today. Almost 500. And on top of that, there's almost 31,000 registered Christian denominations in the world. All of this from one church that Jesus started. Like, man, I wish we could join together. I wish we could get all these people together. Well, we can. We can be that way. We can start that. Now, I'm not suggesting that every denomination is correct and we should just be open to whatever. But I do know that we are supposed to love them. Hello? Yep. Amen. We're obviously supposed to love all people. Here's another interesting point. I found this out in this study. We're supposed to love all people. However, I noticed during this study that Jesus taught specifically that we as believers should love other believers more than he taught that we as believers should love the general public. Did you ever think about that? Jesus taught more about, okay, church, love each other, love the people you're around all the time. He taught more about that than he taught love everybody in the world. Now, sure, we're supposed to love everybody. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. You're supposed to love those that hate you, love your enemies, love those that can't love you back. Yes, that's true. But there are more times recorded in the Bible that Jesus says, love your Christian and fellow brothers and sisters. Think about that. Why do you think that is? Why did he say that? Could it be that loving people from a distance is a whole lot easier than loving people that you're attempting to do life alongside? That's one of those times you got to do the guns, right? Loving people from a distance is much easier than loving people that's right next door, that's right in your own church. And that's why Jesus said time and time again, love one another, fellow believers. We read that in John 13, 34 and 35. 1 John 4 and 21. In this commandment we have from him that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Over and over again we read that. Love each other. Love each other. You know what else I discovered this week? I thought about this. Some people feel that spiritual warfare is yelling at demons. Spiritual warfare is loving others with the love of God, even when they will never love you back. That's spiritual warfare. Amen. We're actually going to be reading from Philippians 2. We're going to talk and look at what Paul says on this topic. Philippians 2, starting with the first verse. Pursuing God communally. He says this. Did everybody get there? Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete. You see, Paul had joy, but he wants you to make his joy complete. That's what he's saying to the churches. Make my joy complete by improving your unity with each other. Verse 2, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Regard one another as more important than yourselves. Wow, that's a tough one to get around, right? Don't dodge that, Scripture. Nail it to the walls of your heart. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. And he goes and starts talking about Jesus and his attributes. Go to verse 14. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast with the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain or toil in vain. Paul sometimes likes to make lists. I recorded three lists from this chapter. There's a to-do list, a to-don't list, and a results list, right? We're going to start with the to-don't list. Have you ever heard of a to-don't list? There should be a to-don't list if there's a to-do list. To-don't, he says, selfishness. I think the King James Version says strife. Comes from a word that denotes self-seeking ambition. Selfishness. Empty conceit or vain glory. Grumble. Don't grumble. Don't listen to people who grumble. Don't ingest information from books, papers, magazines, YouTube, Facebook, social media, TV, or radio that's all about people complaining about how terrible things are. I can always tell who's been listening to too much grumbling, because that's what comes up out of their heart, right? Amen? We have to be careful what we ingest, because it's going to come back up in some way. Don't listen to, if you hear somebody grumbling on a podcast or whatever, click it off. Are we supposed to be blind to all the bad stuff that's going on to this world? Sometimes we need to be, to get the word of God in us instead. Grumbling, dispute, don't dispute. Here's the to-do list, though. Be of the same mind, the same spirit, united in spirit, intent on one purpose, humble-minded, regard one another as more important, hold fast the word of life. Look at that list that Paul says. Now, notice he didn't say we have to like each other. Whew. But you know what's funny? Like is all about my preferences. I like somebody because I prefer their personality over other people's personality, or I prefer their sense of humor. It's about liking is about my preference. Loving agape love is a fruit of the Spirit. So the Spirit that God placed inside of you is producing love. You don't come up with it. You don't muster agape love up somehow. It's created in you by the Spirit. You're just the delivery person. You're just love's DoorDash. Yeah. That's all you get to do. You don't get to make the food. You just take the fruit to other people. You're the DoorDash for the Holy Spirit. So love is more important than liking somebody. And you know what love does? Love begins to, when I begin to show you God's love, whether I like you or not, it begins to change my attitude towards you. And when my attitude changes towards you, it begins to change how we interact with each other. Regardless of how you are, if I like you or not, my interaction with you is now changed because I'm allowing love to be a stronger fruit than my own personal preference of like. Amen? Oh, I'm going to have to write that down. And we don't have to agree on everything to be united in spirit, intent on one purpose. The purpose here at our church specifically has been to grow our relationship with God and influence others to do the same. If we can get that as our main one purpose, growing our relationship with God and influencing others to do the same, I believe that's how we will change the world. Look at this next list. This is the result list. Here's what happens. You will prove yourself blameless. I need that. Innocent. Children of God. Notice he didn't say you'll be a child of God. It's a community. You'll be children of God. Above reproach, lights to a crooked and perverse world. Once again, like Jesus said in his prayer, Paul says, how you interact with each other will be a light of God to a perverse and crooked generation. This world does not need to hear Christians grumbling about how bad the world is. They're living it. The world needs to see God's love. And they're looking at us to see how we interact with each other. Amen? So my main lesson today, in pursuing God, we can pursue God by pursuing love for each other, by being obedient in regards and to our interactions with each other. And remember, not just this church, but the church down the street, all of them that claim Christ as their Savior. We're all part of the same body, brothers and sisters. And this is a key for being a light in a dark world. And the world needs your light. Hebrews 12:14, pursue peace with all men. I have a list of scriptures in my notes that you can get back here in the table, or you can get on YouVersion and get my notes today. There's a list of scriptures that talk more about how we need to interact with each other in love and unity. And you may think, Jeff, it's all about, you're just always rainbows and loves and unicorns and all this kind of stuff. I tell you what, love's the hardest thing that you will master on this earth. I truly believe that. When you begin to figure out what the love of God means for you, it's going to be the most toughest thing that you can accomplish. Praise the Lord. If you would stand with me, please, let's pray.